Conducted. Well, we have a guest today, and I'm going to test his microphone. Antonio Sarmiento. How did I do?
That is the best pronunciation I've heard outside of Colombia. There it is right there, Carrie. Nicely done.
How do you get from a birthplace of the romantic Bogota, Colombia?
De Bogota, Colombia. You want me to tell it in Spanish?
Or? No, well, for I don't know how many Spanish.
Mira lo que empezamos porque, no.
It's a musical language,
oh,
to be
boy,
sure.
Yes, it is.
Sounds like jazz flute to me when you just...
Latin jazz.
Yeah, Latin jazz.
Latin jazz.
Okay, and you get from there to Universal Studios. I want to know that. And then I want to ask you if you can tell us how you got from Universal Studios to the charming and elegant, witty, intelligent Capitol Theater.
In Port Hope, Canada,
Romantic
Ontario,
Port Hope,
right?
Vacation capital of thousands.
Gosh, well, it's a really long story that I'm going to tell very quickly.
Okay.
Born in Colombia, South America, moved to Hamburg, Germany, Madrid, Spain. My parents worked for IBM, so they wanted to get us to the best opportunities possible when I was very young. I was born in 1969. So that was a very tumultuous time in Colombia, and especially in Bogota with the cartels and everything. So my parents wanted to get us out. And this young little kid from Colombia ended up in the United States eventually. My parents got the visa for the United States from Spain. And while I was in the United States, I was introduced to the world of entertainment and musicals and shows and television and film and all of that. Fell in love with it. And because I was just about 15 minutes from Manhattan, I decided to go into the industry. And it was the best decision I ever made. So, I mean, you think, how can you make this a career? And I spent some time in a military academy as well with my parents saying, you know, well, you got to do something else. What are you going to fall back on? What are you going to fall back on? And what it taught me actually was I was very fortunate to have incredible mentors on my shoulders and angels on my shoulders at the right time in my career to take this little kid from Colombia and give me the opportunities to make my way through this industry. And I found myself after about 15 years in the industry as an actor and producer and director in New York and eventually in Los Angeles at the footsteps of Mr. Steven Spielberg at Universal Studios, and was so honored to be chosen to be his head of production for all Holocaust-related projects that he was doing after Schindler's List.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a unique, amazing 3 years of my life. I spent 9 years at Universal Studios and 3 years under Mr. Spielberg, and it was just an incredible time for me to learn not just about entertainment, but about humanity and about life and experiences. And if you really, as Steven would say, if you want to become a storyteller, you have to live. And I had other mentors tell me that I was going to be a great storyteller after I got to suffer a little bit. So I didn't quite know what that meant at 17, 18 years old, but I'm now 39. I know what he meant. And it's been great because ultimately I have to become a storyteller. But while when I finished my project with Steven and the amazing project with the Shoah Foundation in Los Angeles, one of the recommendations that was given to me was, don't do this as your life, because it's very difficult to work with that kind of material, whether it's the Holocaust. And I started working with Raising Malawi with Madonna and a couple other places, a couple other organizations, and I'm not going to name drop, but a lot of very big names that had philanthropic efforts like that, just like Steven had with Schindler's List and the Holocaust Foundation. And I found that I needed to get away from that at his recommendation, because he's, you know, do your ETs and do your Schindler's List, but do your ETs and your Raiders of the Lost Ark, because it's very difficult. And I still to this day have a lot of difficulty with the Holocaust and those kind of things. But luckily, I had this idea, and I proposed back in Los Angeles to a number of people, including the incredible Ricardo Montalban, Rourke from Fantasy Island,
indeed,
right?
Of course.
So this gentleman and other people like Moctezuma Esparza, who created Selena, the film Selena, back in Los Angeles, because I had this idea of taking everything I'd learned in Hollywood and at Universal and applying it to live entertainment, like big musicals or plays, because projection and digital technology and visual effects were really coming of age at that time in the early 2000s. And so, unfortunately, Mr. Ricardo Montalban passed away. Just as I was in talks with him about the Mayan Theater in Los Angeles, and he passed away, and I was so sad, and I thought, oh, there goes my chance. But really, the universe will guide you where it needs you to be. And at the time, I had been visiting Toronto a lot. Mm. And I love Toronto. I think it's a beautiful, so multicultural, wonderful mecca of everything. And I thought, okay, I could go from this. I have to leave Los Angeles. I was starting to become one of Los Angeles's go-to guys for philanthropic work like that. And I didn't want to do that anymore. And it was a big decision to essentially not quite reboot my career, but really make a major change. And I thought, this is the opportunity. And I could do it in either New York or Miami. I had some offers in Philadelphia. But Toronto was where I was drawn for some reason. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is where I need to do it. So bought a nice big house just outside of Toronto and came out here to do it here. And I thought, instead of knocking on doors and saying, I have an idea, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. And I was so blessed to have the Capitol Theater in Port Hope, which is just an hour from Toronto, fall in my lap, essentially. And almost literally, the opportunity came up at the right time. And I said, I want to try this new way of doing live entertainment and applying visual effects to, and also doing a bit of cinematic direction. So when I direct, I come from film as well as stage. And I think that our audiences, especially the younger audiences, are looking for something that's going to excite them. And they're used to seeing the big blockbusters on the screen and on now the television and in their pockets with Netflix and all these things. You're seeing these big splashy things, and our audiences are kind of used to a certain way to be entertained. And it's not a tiny little thing. It's a big thing. It's a broad spectrum. But by pulling that which Hollywood is trying to be in film, which is as ultra life and realistic as possible, almost 3D and holographic, right? In some cases, you're seeing Hollywood trying 3D and all these things. They're trying to be that which live entertainment already is, live, dynamic. So if I can pull from them all that I've learned from Hollywood and apply it to live entertainment in a cinematic style in the direction as well as in the visual effects, I think we have something quite special. And at the Capitol Theater, started 5 years ago, with Mary Poppins and a number of other great shows like Singing in the Rain. And Singing in the Rain was our big breakout to have digital and actual practical rain on the stage with this magical musical. And from then on, we took off, and the Capitol Theater, I'm so proud to say, has doubled in its size. We've doubled our audiences now. We see well over 70,000 people in the theater every year. And our productions, our professional shows that call on the same actors you're seeing in Mervish Productions on Broadway, in many cases in Stratford and Shaw, and there, all those actors are coming out and they're excited not just by what we're doing, the shows that we're choosing, like this year with Fiddler on the Roof and Little Mermaid, and shows like Beauty and the Beast. Last year we did Beauty and the Beast and Mamma Mia, and we've done those shows, but we've been able to do it in a different way that the actors are as excited as the audiences.
You bring everything, because I've got a question for you about what the skill you have brought to the stage. Here it is live.
Yeah.
You apply all the technology that you've learned. Obviously, you're very skilled at doing it. What do you say to an audience member who is attending a live show and records it on a one-inch screen?
Oh, well, we don't like that they record the shows.
Me either, but what do you say?
What do you say? Well, in terms of, first of all, there's a copyright question.
No, you're not allowed,
in live theater, you can't go in and record.
It works the same with live music.
Yeah.
Those musicians are entitled to a recording fee, and richly entitled to a recording.
Exactly. I mean,
aside from the legal aspect.
From the artistic aspect, you're not going to get the full effect of a live show.
No kidding.
So people know that. I think people know that. There's no comparing live to recorded, whether it's music or
what
a film.
Do you say to a generation that won't be in the moment when you're sitting in a theater with a wonderful live production for you and you opt to go with what's available on a cell phone? What do you say to them? If you could get any message across to people who do that.
This is a different thing that they're going to experience. This is not, it's not comparable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're missing out. It's kind of like eating a hot dog with a wrapper on it, or eating how about a bad meal versus a real meal, a filet mignon versus, you know, everything recorded. It's not going to be the same experience. And I think it really comes down to that. It's the experience. Mm-hmm. When you're listening to music, yes, you have a visceral experience. You have a different kind of experience. But when you're watching something live, it is a truly different dynamic experience. And if we are giving these audiences, especially the younger audiences, because let's face it, these shows, our audiences are not going to be around. We need to cater and to give it to these people. And the way we reach the younger audiences is to give them that which they are used to on their phones and on their TVs and on the big screens, but add that to the live performances, because they're gonna relate to those same kind of things that also the younger generation is seeing in their video games. That's some of the things that people are telling me as they come out of the shows. The younger people are excited and they're asking, how do I get into the industry to do what you do there on that screen? Because I see that in my video games. And we can't ignore that place.
Okay, I want people to go very much that they should go to your website. Let's hear your website,
please. CapitolTheater.com. Couldn't be any easier. Capital with an O, not capital with an A. Oh, my
capital
goodness.
Capital.
I wish I could buy it.
Capital.
Es el capital. So, in Spanish, you would say capital, which sounds like an A, but it's actually capital.
It's
an O, yes. CapitolTheater.com. You can call the box office at 905-885-1071. We have a very, very big following on Facebook. TripAdvisor as well is big with us. We're the most popular thing to do in our area. Come out and see what we do.
Antonio, come back anytime.
Happy.